Hello, and welcome to Choral Connectivity, a people-first approach to singing, Season 2. Through this podcast, we explore the meaningful ways that teaching singing can affect human nature, discuss teaching philosophies, and celebrate amazing stories of people who are doing incredible and meaningful work in the choral field. I'm your host, Kirsten Oberoi, and I'm here to help inspire you. You, the teacher, you, the singer, you, the educator, you, the conductor, whoever you are, these weekly episodes will help you remember that each voice is totally unique, and the story behind each person who is singing with you is incredibly valuable and important to this world. Before we dive in with open arms and hearts to today's episode, I want to remind you that you can always reach me on the Choral Connectivity Facebook page, Instagram, or website. Let's see how we can change the world of choral music just a little bit more today. Hey friends, how you doing? Happy New Year. I hope that you are going to celebrate today and have so much fun and have a lot of safe fun. I am here today to present a short little special bonus episode where I'm going to talk about my five favorite lessons that I've learned in 2022. 2022 was a great year. It was a year that was challenging, especially last spring, with deciding what to do and what policies to make. But the fall and the summer of 2022, for me, haven't been about rebuilding anymore. It's about moving forward. For me, the end and most of 2022 is about development, and it's about thinking, and it's about learning. In 2022, I've started busting open the boxes and thinking, why is it done this way? Can I do it another way? Is there a better way to do it? So here we go. We're going to do a little quick journey through my five favorite lessons of the year. Lesson number one, and this is absolutely attributed to Brené Brown. As we all know, I've done my Brené Brown obsessiveness this fall. But my lesson is this: belonging and fitting in are not the same. A people-first culture encourages belonging and rejects fitting in. As arts educators, we need to stop trying to fit into the educational system and instead find reasons we belong. And before I sort of dive into what that means to me, I want to read you this quote from Brené, which really just inspired me and made me think and think and think about this. Fitting in is about assessing a situation and becoming who you need to be accepted. Belonging, on the other hand, doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. This is so incredibly powerful, my friends. When we create spaces for people who are using their most special and precious instrument that is only theirs, that is only unique, they have trusted us to create that space. That space is so sacred. What we need to be doing as arts educators and as people who are creating these singing spaces for people is saying, we accept you for who you are. We accept your voice for the uniqueness that it has. And we will create a beautiful picture from the puzzle pieces that stand in front of us. We are not going to ask you to change who you are to be here with us. So that's the first part of it. Belonging and fitting in are not the same, and they shouldn't be interchanged. When we talk about belonging, we are talking about accessibility and diversity and inclusion at its core. When we talk about fitting in, there's a lot more looking around and sameness. And then as a person trying to fit in, hoping to be a part of that sameness. But there is something so beautiful about what we do when we can look across our choir or look across our ensemble and say, wow, look at all of these people who belong because of something different. In the same vein, and the second half of this is something that's more related to advocacy. As arts educators, for a really long time, we've been saying we are just like other subjects. We can be just like math. We can be just like science or English, or even we can be just like art, or we as chorus can be just like band or orchestra. We have been planting and raising the flag for so long to fit in. We have been saying we deserve the exact same treatment as math, as science. And that hasn't gotten us very far. Putting more rubrics on what we do hasn't really changed the game for most arts educators. And if it has changed the game for arts educators, I have to ask the question, is it changing from the inside, or is it just putting a good outfit or adding a sameness to what we're doing? Instead, how can we change our advocacy? How can we say, you know what? We are not like math. We are not like science. When students come in here, we cannot and will not evaluate students the same way because we are different and we add value differently. We don't add value to children's lives because of a test or a rubric or a standardized test. We add value for so many different reasons. How can we as arts educators change the game in this way? How can we change our advocacy? Where can we raise our flag differently? I'm getting tired of the same arguments that aren't working. Let's be who we are and let's add value to students' lives in terms of their public education in our way. Not in the way that math does it, not in the way that science does it, not in the way that history does it, but in the way that chorus does it. That is when we'll really start to see change. All right, lesson number two. There is so much we can learn from people outside of the world of visual and performing arts. Until we extend our networks to people who are not actively involved in the arts, we will never reach new audiences. In order to grow, in order to keep our art alive, and in order to change lives, we have to be relevant. And being relevant doesn't mean doing the song that's on the radio right now. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it just means offering value that people outside of our world care about and understand. If we are only adding value to people who already know and like what we're doing, then we're just going to continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller. The amount of times in 2022 that I've had a conversation with someone who knows nothing, nothing about choral music, who's excited by the end of the conversation about the work that I and my organization are doing is countless. These conversations are thrilling to have. You have a blank slate in front of you, and you get to tell them why. Why are we so important? Why is learning to sing so important? And some people don't believe you first, but maybe they can be convinced. Maybe, and possibly, that person has never spoken to someone who understands the value of arts education. So let's stop looking for people that already know our value to support us and move instead to finding support outside of that really, really small circle. All right, lesson number three. Ask why about everything. If it doesn't fit your mission or goal, find a creative solution that does. Maybe even a creative solution that has never existed before. Don't do it just because that's the way it's been done, but don't not do it just because that's the way it's been done. It is amazing to me that we are in the field of creative arts. We are creative people. And yet, how many of our concerts look exactly the same? Why? Why are you doing a concert? Why did you pick that piece? Why are the performers wearing what they're wearing? Why did you call your choir what you called it? There is a creative solution for everything. And sometimes, in order to find it, you may have to think outside the box. You may have to throw logistic out the window and let yourself brainstorm. Let yourself ideate. Do it alone. Do it with another person. Do it with a group. Whatever works for you in your creative process. But friends, we are creative people. We are really creative people. And 99.9, yes, this is an absolutely made up statistic. It's fine. But 99.9% of choral performance looks exactly the same. Let's change it. Do something different. Why not? The amount of times on forums online, I see choral directors asking, can I have my students wear this? Why are you asking? Who's going to come to you and say, ah, no? Your students can wear whatever uniform works for you and your students. Don't do it just because that's the way it's been done. But in the same way, don't take tradition and just throw it out the window because it's tradition. Some whys are going to work. Some traditions are going to work when you ask that question. And some aren't. Both are okay. Both are good. And as long as you're asking why and you can answer that question about everything, then you're really starting to create culture. For me, everything in my organization has to go back to a why. And sometimes the why is because we haven't thought about why yet. And that's okay, because you can't think about everything all the time. But as an example, when I started my organization in 2016, we named the groups Training Choir, Intermediate Choir, and Advanced Choir. Kindergarten through second grade, youngest to oldest, third to sixth, seventh through 12th. But our whole mission is that we are not auditioned, we have no auditions for anyone, and that at any point, no matter your experience level, you can come join us. So how confusing is that? our names say training, intermediate, advanced. It says you have to have experience, and yet we are preaching that you don't. So I asked, why? Let's change it. We have to change it. We have to change it to be able to live out our mission. And so we're changing it because you can. You can change it. If you don't know why, find a reason that you're fired up about why, and change it. Because most of the time, you can. And if you're at a point where you really, really can't, why can't you? And if that thing that is stopping you from doing it is immovable, truly immovable, without any creative solution on the planet, there is nothing you can do about it. As you can see, I'm pretty skeptical of that situation in general. But if that's the case, then maybe that's not the place for you. And that's okay. But if you can't get behind something, change it. All right. Lesson number 4. Recruitment is something that happens naturally when mission, vision, and values are well communicated. Retainment is something that happens naturally when mission, vision, and values are embodied. A pizza party will only get you so far. Recruitment tips and tricks only work sometimes. When you have a mission and a vision, and you have a team that is working towards that mission and that vision, and it is clear, and it is well communicated, and it is open, people will come. Now, we have to be careful with this, because if your mission is to create the highest quality of music and perform incredibly challenging repertoire, you have a very narrow recruitment window, because you can only recruit those who have the ability, the skill set, to perform that challenging music from outside when you didn't teach it to them. Which, that's okay. If that's your mission, that's great. But recognize that you are looking to a very, very, very small audience, and adjust your goals accordingly. For us, recruitment happens naturally because our mission is you are welcome here. And as my friend Kelly Graber put so well in an interview that she did for one of our marketing videos, she said, it is absolutely our job to teach the students to sing. We can do that. They don't have to come with anything else. We're the teachers. We can teach you that skill. When that mission, vision, and value is so well communicated, like that by one of the team members, and there's a big, open, wide, vast sea of fish, recruitment happens. And then retainment happens when that is embodied. Retainment happens when I watch Kelly teach and I see that one of her longtime students is still struggling to match pitch. And then what she does is, during the song game that she's playing, she changes the key. She changes the key right for him. And what does he do? He sings So Me. And he sings the right intervals. And he sings it in the key that's comfortable for him. That is embodying the mission that she just spoke. Those two things are so important. And if we want people to continue doing this thing, that's what we have to do. We have to recruit with a well-communicated mission. And that mission, ideally, is somewhat relevant. Look around. Look outside of our world. What is going on? What is popular? Why is it popular? Is your mission a mission of belonging? Or is your mission a mission of fitting in? If your mission is a mission of fitting in, that's fine. But you've got a smaller window. You've got a smaller window of what you can recruit and set your goals accordingly. But if you cast a wide net and you believe in that wide net, and when you can catch everything in that wide net and say, yes, when you're here, I'm going to embody the fact that I told you that you can be. That, my friends, that is when recruitment is easy. Finally, my last and favorite lesson of 2022. There are many things in life that can be a both and. A people-first approach isn't one of them. At some point, you'll have to decide whether to serve the music, serve your ego, or serve the human beings in front of you. Choose the humans. Every time. A people-first approach is a priority. And by definition, priority is a ranking. It means this is the most important thing. Now, as far as the ranking goes, those rankings can be really darn close. You can have a people-first approach and still have amazing musical quality. But when it comes down to it, when there is that decision, it cannot be a both and. You have to make a choice. Are you really going to choose the music? The choral music, which by literally it, what it is, cannot happen without the people? It can't. It's impossible to have choral music without people. Are you going to choose the music? Are you going to serve your ego? In his book, Unreasonable Hospitality, which I'm going to be writing a blog post soon about that book. If you haven't bought that book, go buy it. Put it on the top of your list for 2022. It is out of control. It is such a good book. Anyway, in the book, Unreasonable Hospitality, Will Guidara, who was the owner of 11 Madison Park in New York City, and it was named the best restaurant in the world. In the book, he talks about how chefs in fancy elite restaurants don't want to give the customers things for their dishes, like ketchup, or they want their steak medium instead of medium rare. And he says at that point, they aren't serving the customer. They're serving their own ego. And that rang so hard for me. Are we serving our own ego, or are we serving the people in front of us? So what if the people in front of us want ketchup? Is that really the end of the world? This is such an important thing to remember. In order to be people first, you have to commit to being people first. And it's hard. Sometimes it is so hard because we grew up and were taught in many ways that the music needs to come first. The music needs to come first. But in my opinion, the music is going to be fine. The people need to come first. Choose the humans. Choose them every time. Because that is what will create truly beautiful music. Well, my friends, have a wonderful, wonderful celebration into 2023. We have some amazing guests lined up for the beginning of the year. I hope I'll be seeing a lot of you at ACDA in Cincinnati in February. Super excited for that. And just remember, it's all about the people. No matter what you do, it's all about the people. Stay awesome. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And Happy New Year. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Choral Connectivity, A People-First Approach to Singing. Again, I'm your host, Kirsten Oberoi, and I would love to connect with you and your story. Find us on Facebook or Instagram or on our website at choralconnectivity.com. If you love the content and feel inspired today, click on the link in the show notes to buy me a coffee to help with production costs, hosting, and possibly to actually buy me a coffee. A special shout out to my student, George Potenza, for allowing me to use his music in this season of the podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue being inspiring, innovative, caring, committed, and passionate about bringing singing to all people.